Welcome to The Follow-Up, a weekly podcast that goes in-depth into projects recently reviewed on Brand New, featuring conversations with the designers and sometimes their clients, uncovering the context, background, and design decisions behind the work. Hi, this is Bryony Gomez-Palacio, and welcome to episode number 64 of The Follow-Up. This week, we're following up on Bolt, a checkout experience platform that, quote, strengthens retailers' relationships with their customers by unlocking secure, logged-in, lightning-fast checkouts, end quote. Partnering with retailers like Forever 21, Batchelor Mishka, Fanatics, Akira, and Swissgear, Bolt's primary offer is a one-click, seamless checkout system that converts more shoppers into buyers compared to traditional guest checkouts. Originally built by a team of 10 people when it launched in 2016, Bolt, headquartered in San Francisco, now has more than 600 employees with offices in New York City, Salt Lake City, Seattle, Toronto, Stockholm, Wrocław, and Barcelona. The project, designed by the New York office of Kodo, was posted on Brand New on January 23rd, 2023. You can pull it up on your browser at bit.ly/bnpodcast064. That is bit.ly/bnpodcast064, all in lowercase. This week, we are joined by Arthur Folliard, Creative Director at Kodo, and Jason Rosenberg, Head of Creative at Bolt. In this conversation, we hear about the need for Bolt to stand out among its competitors, given that they are one of the lesser-known players in the checkout game, and how they saw design as an opportunity to do so. Armed with a newfound rallying cry, shockingly simple, Bolt and Kodo set out to make a brand that was impossible to ignore or miss. We also get Arthur's and Jason's opinion on what has been, relatively speaking, the biggest controversy of the past 6 to 12 months as Twitter exploded with comparisons to obscure logos that also happen to hide a lightning bolt in the negative space of two letters. After hearing all that went into the development of the strategy, logo, and identity, including a 90-page logo refinement presentation, it's easy to understand why, ultimately, both Bolt and Kodo stand firmly by what they created and how they arrived at it. Now, let's listen in as Armin follows up with Arthur and Jason.
Hello, everyone. Today, I will try not to steal my guest's thunder, not that I ever do that, if I'm being honest, as I try to find out how they were able to catch lightning in the new logo and identity for Bolt. Arthur, Jason, welcome to The Follow-Up.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
So that our listeners can know who's who, if you can tell us your name and title.
I'm Jason Rosenberg. I'm the head of creative here at Bolt.
And I'm Arthur Folliard, creative director at Kodo.
Perfect. Jason, we're going to start with you. As I was looking at your LinkedIn page, because that's what I do for fun on my free time, I see you joined Bolt 8 months ago. Was your first assignment to kickstart this rebranding, or was the project already in motion once you joined?
It was a little bit of both. I came in to definitely take over the rebrand. Bolt was basically signing Kodo after doing a pitch with different agencies for the rebrand. So when I came in, the hard work was done. Hey, we have our partner. But I think my first day was the first meeting with Kodo.
Oh, wow. So that's like, here's the fire, jump into it, see how that feels.
It's what excited me to come to Bolt, is an opportunity to rebrand and really take the brand down to the studs and find out really what the brand stood for and the North Star through this rebrand too.
And knowing that you were going into this, did you have any sense of why Bolt wanted to rebrand at this point in its history?
Absolutely. Bolt's been around for a little bit. The fintech space, the checkout space specifically, it's a sea of sameness. You look out there and you see the same color palette, see the same logos, you see the same language. No one's really standing out. Bolt not being the biggest checkout platform to compete against the Shopify's, even the Klarna's, which is an exact competitor, but we stand next to them. We had to do something to stand out, and we had to do something to tell our story, because there's so many checkout companies out there, and it's parody in the sea of sameness. 2023, we're trying to make some big move, trying to do a new chapter at Bolt. And it was important for us to start that chapter really with a strong brand and a strong narrative for Bolt.
It was in your brief, if I remember correctly, I think you asked to have a vision that was provocative and clear, inspiring. All the stuff you said about the competitive landscape was very much in the brief, which is everyone looks the same. We need to be different because that's how we're going to get people interested in our brand.
We're not the only Bolt out there. That was another thing that we were very conscious about. The name itself needed some boldness as well.
Or some boldness. I'm sorry, I'll just do that one time and we'll not do it again.
It's fine, it's fine.
Arthur, you mentioned the brief and you mentioned the pitch. So how did Kodo get involved? When was this? How long did the pitch process take? All of that good stuff that no one likes to talk about.
No, it's actually great to talk about. I think the first email we got was in Jan or Feb of 2022. Well, it's very much a classic email you get. Hey, we're Bolt. We're doing this and this. We're all looking for rebrands. You know, here's the timing. Here's the RFP. Here's maybe the, you know, the budget. Do you want to jump on a call and introduce yourself to the team? And it's exactly what we did. So the pitch wasn't so much a pitch. We didn't do any creative or strategy. It was very much making sure that obviously we get along. We were very honest from the beginning that I was going to do this in New York. So I was leaving London. LA wasn't going to do this. New York was going to take that on. And so making sure I was getting along with everyone, or Jason, Meg, Rosie, Andrew, the whole team. Very much simple creds, but we actually shared some interesting thoughts because, like I said, do you remember Jason? Is your brief was actually really good. You know, you were just telling us what's your challenge. You were talking about the competitive landscape and most of the problem and the challenge again that you had. You know, most of our clients have the same thing. They have an amazing product, but don't know why they exist and why people should care. And so we came in with some thoughts in some ways, but that's probably it.
A question out of personal curiosity for you, Arthur. How does Kodo figure out what office does what? I imagine location has a lot to do with it, but I'm not exactly sure if there's not cross-contamination, I don't know why I thought of that word, but crossover between offices working together on a single project, or if it's more divided by region.
A bit of everything. I'd say region is playing a role. Obviously, if someone is from New York, the New York team is going to look into it. But we try to be very open with the other studios. You know, sometimes when it doesn't work out for the US market, we go with London and Berlin and say, hey, you know, you should just work on this. Or very recently, the Berlin studio had a great email from an amazing client. And they were like, actually, New York, it makes more sense that you do this one based on the challenge of this brand. And so I think at that time, based in Jan/Feb, we were also trying to find one or two clients I could just live with, you know, like go to New York and just do this one and find a team and build a team around that. And yeah, Bolt was the one. I met them and I would say kind of like, you know, fell in love with, you know, Jason and the rest of his team. And I was like, I just think there's something to be done here. And I think we get along really well already. That's how it happened. Very organic.
Nice. Question for both of you, but let's start with Arthur. From those initial conversations and that first falling in love phase, what stood out as the things about Bolt that you felt could be taken forward in your initial phases of strategy and design?
We kind of talked about this already with Jason, right? But I think their vision of just doing things differently. I think when we look at the competitive landscape, it's true that PayPal, Checkout.com, etc., they're very much focused on B2B. And I know B2B is a big thing for Bolt. Obviously, we're talking to merchants, but none of them are actually talking to shoppers. With that in mind, it's really interesting and great and exciting to create a brand that's going to need to flex from the B2B to the B2C world. That got us really excited. And once again, the fact that we're saying we want something that feels very different, something that feels provocative, something that feels just new and fun as well, because I don't think they have a lot of fun, right, Jason? We do a lot of competitive audits at Kodo and we look at competitors, how they talk, how they behave, etc. And it's very bland. And so we're like, hey, if you believe in us, if you believe in this vision, you got to be different.
Jason, well, we talked about what the ambitions were, but was there anything specific about what the logo should look like, should do? Any goals that you gave Kodo initially?
Absolutely. Standing out. We use the term sea of sameness so much in this project.
I know.
It was like, I feel like a broken record saying it, and everything looked the same. Every decision we made is, how does Bolt stand out? There was some equity in the previous logo too, of being able to use it in a shorthand and being able to use it as a full mark. And so we knew we wanted a shorthand of the logo because there's so many touch points within our brand, the Bolt, that sometimes we need to show up more simple and sometimes we need to show up with the full logo. That was really important. How do we create a more simplified version of the logo to represent us and in the future hopefully use more instead of the full logo as awareness grows? Those were two huge things moving forward. In this project, also really create what Bolt stands for. I don't think we had a handle on that. We knew what Bolt was, but we didn't really come to the terms of how to communicate Bolt in a couple of words. And once we figured that out, that drove everything. All the little details that we did with our guidelines really came out from what Bolt stood for.
So what does Bolt stand for?
Kodo brilliantly put these words in an early presentation, shockingly simple. Everything we do is about making checkout more simple for the shoppers and giving merchants the opportunity to turn shoppers through a simplified checkout platform to lifetime customers. That's our value prop that we want to communicate to merchants. It's all about simplicity. It's all about shockingly simple and shock, like Bolt, and like Boltify everything. That led a lot of decisions that we did with Kodo, like everything, all the little details, Arthur, that we talk about that are like, I'm so glad we did this. So glad we did that.
Because it goes from the iconography to the way we shoot people, the way we do the illustration, the way we do motion principle. But it's true that Bolt carries meaning as a name. Like the name alludes to energy and speed, and it kind of made sense with the strategy that we were also building to create something that had this intensity, this energy.
I have plenty of questions about the logo, and we'll get into that, but I did not have any questions prepared to talk about Shockingly Simple, which really is a great way to summarize what you do, but at the same time, give it a lot of personality. How did you arrive at this Shockingly Simple two words?
There's a lot of research that we do. We spend a lot of time with the team. We did 50 plus interviews. We got access to the product itself. We got product demo. We did literally everything. And at some point, we just gathered all around, you know, the table with the Bolt team. And we suggested a few options as well, like something that was around lightning fast, obviously checkout, that became actually shockingly simple. We had something around the power of the network. We had quite a lot of options and we tried to make them as different as possible because we want to see how people react, but it all comes down to the research. I'd say we started the project mid-April, end of April, and presented the first round of creative mid-June, July. So that's literally a good two and a half pure research and strategy.
And in that first round of presentation, and we'll get to the details of what it contains, but did you show logo and identity explorations along with the possible words to describe it? Or was there a previous meeting just for figuring out Shockingly Simple?
A bit of everything. I think we knew exactly what the positioning statement was 90% done, I'd say. I think we had the value props as well, everything in the strategy sort of space. But I think it's when we shared this first creative presentation that we called, yeah, Shockingly Simple, that was really built around lightning speed checkout, that the team was like, yeah, that's it. You know, there's literally, let's just go for it. We call Bolt, you know, our product is super fast. And so, yeah, we're not just going to do anything else. We just need to embrace it. And I think this one of the great things with Jason and his team is that they really believed in the vision. They really just put so much trust in us. And we were like, if you want that to be effective, you got to go at 100%, not at 90%, at 100%. And we're going to make sure that the brand can flex from the really fun and expressive things that everyone has seen online to the smallest part of the product. Actually, Jason can talk about this with Andrew's head of product at Bolt. Spent a lot of time on the most recessive part of the brand.
We'll get into that in a little bit. Sounds delightfully nerdy.
Yeah. In a great way.
Yeah.
Love it.
Talking a little bit about the name, just Bolt, and perhaps this goes into the discussion about what was included in that first round of design, but was there any moment in the early discussions where you thought maybe we should not have a Bolt graphic of any kind, or was that sort of a no-go in the sense that we're called Bolt, we need a Bolt, just shut up and do it?
We suggested a few options. The first one was very much, you'll call Bolt, why don't we just create a brand around it? The second one had no lightning bolt at all. It was very much around the power of the community. So a lot of things sort of like coming together. I'm asking people to have imagination right now. And then the third one was no stress sort of checkout. It was using the code of not meditation in some ways because it's completely wrong, but just, you know, really relaxing and chill, but with a really interesting twist, which was we're going to make it as bold as possible. And we actually took the boldness of that and we brought it into the lightning fast checkout, which was the first.
We had a lot of conversations of what we want to accomplish with the logo. A lot of it came down was, what does a logo look like in a shorthand? What does a logo look like in an icon? If Bolt ever makes an app in the future, how could you take a piece of that logo and make it into an app icon? Or how does it show up on business cards? And to have that flexibility, Arthur, there was a script version. There was playing with yeah. the Bolt more. There was playing with the Bolt less than just doing typography. And we really looked at a lot of different versions and we felt
uppercase, lowercase, yeah. italicized. We did a lot of things.
We can nerd out right now and talk about once we decided the direction of the logo,
yeah, yeah.
how many versions that we looked at of just looking at the typography and the shape of the Bolt in the negative space. Really getting into the curves and the angles. And I mean, we took every little detail very seriously. The versatility that the logo that we chose, it was unbelievable. And wherever you put it, we're able to use it to its advantage.
I think that logo refinement document, I do remember it, the 90-page one, which was the nerdiest thing ever. And it was great. But
it made me so happy.
Yeah, nothing was left to chance. Everything had a reason. And when we present creative, we present something. There's a lot of research of bringing back the competitors, bringing back the brief, bringing back, you know, everything that we've been talking about and saying it makes sense. And we went in, you know, literally, look, this is how it works when you just change the angle 2%. And, you know, why we think it's interesting. And we went on a super nice before after from very expressive, very recessive. How can we just meet in the middle? Because the first actual logo that we presented was way more expressive than this one. It was italicized.
Yeah, it was on an angle.
Lightning bolt in there was like super, super crazy, etc. And so we just brought it back to a bit more mature because you do have to exist, you know, against Visa and MasterCard and all of these people as well.
So it sounds like the first iteration of that idea was very different from where you arrived at, but still everybody after that first round presentation saw the potential, correct?
Yeah. It is similar when you do a before after. It is in some ways different because we spend a lot of time on this. You think the Bolt logo is expressive right now? It was probably 10 times more expressive before.
It actually sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Jason, what was yours and Bolt's leadership reaction to this first round presentation? Was it an instant, yes, that's it? Or was it more of a drawn out process of trying to make a decision and, you know, think that you made the right choice?
Well, there was a lot in that presentation. It was.
Yeah.
150
or something.
I mean, there were four directions, I believe. There was messaging, there was logos, there was color palette, there was photography style. The great thing about working with Coda was, is like it all turned into a conversation. It's like, we really like this logo because it accomplishes this. A lot of the other logos we looked at, too fun, it became less trustworthy to us. That was another thing that could have mentioned earlier. Part of the brief was, we need to be trustworthy. We're a checkout company. We need to gain people's trust. We need to be sturdy as well as bold and eye-catching and to stand out. That led us in a different direction from some of the other ones. We took where the logo was going in one direction. We took the messaging in another direction that was labeled shockingly simple. And we're like, oh my God, this is really interesting to explore. Like, we want to explore this. Like, what does this mean? What does it mean to have Bolt language out of this idea? There was different photography styles that I think none of them really felt percent yet. And so we started just exploring through the next round. I think the next round was really close to where we ended up going in the brand guidelines overall, the concept of the brand guidelines.
Yeah, we just replaced fan photography and fan illustration with our own photography and illustration, our own motion principles and all, but yeah. You ask about the relationship between Coda and Bolt. And I think that's the greatest thing about this rebrand is our relationship. Do you remember when we presented the first round of creative, the first route that you picked was obviously lightning speed checkout, and we had this idea of doing flash photography, you know, and everything happens in a flash. And I remember you were like, yeah, but like everyone is doing it. I mean, you talk about it a lot, right? It's like flash photography. But it kind of made sense to us to do this. Like, okay, it's fine. Everyone's doing it, but it makes sense for Bolt. And then you were like, no. Like, let's just do it differently. You know, let's just stand out from the crowd. And we came back with this, I think we call it like ultra dynamism.
Electric dynamism.
And this idea of doing the perspective, this sense of like you check out and then you move on and having this great energy into this. But thanks to the team again, you know, we had a great discussion and we're like, we like it, but let's just, you know, let's try something else. And it's been literally like this from day one, really. You know, we did the same on the logo. We talked a lot about the colors as well, same with the illustration. And I think that's why we're so proud and we're here as well with Jason, is that it felt like just one team working on this project.
I should have probably asked this earlier. Jason, what does the team look like on your end? How many people are involved? What roles do they play?
We have our head of marketing, Meg, who's been an incredible leader from day one, who has been making decisions and really leading us forward. She wants to push this brand to a place that's bold, that stands out, and really has a test of time. And so all of her decisions from her perspective have been through those lens. The head of product design, Andrew, who's been really looking at all of the decisions we've been making of like, okay, we need to collaborate and make sure that what you see in the product works from a cohesive standpoint of what you see in the brand too. That's a lot of what went into a lot of the conversations too, is like, this is great in marketing, but how does it flex in product? My personal team is Rosie, who's actually in Stockholm. A huge time difference, creative director, who's really been my partner in trying to take all these details and make sure everything has really been thought out completely, like from a messaging standpoint. A team of creative director Haley and Greg, who's a writer on my team, who have really been looking at every page of the website as we've been rebranding. And so we're a small team, and there's so many more people that have been involved in this. Like, we're a very small team, but we've really tried to look at every little detail.
Yeah, you're a small team. I do remember you saying, tomorrow we're presenting to 800 people or 500. I don't remember. Yeah. And you were like, oh, shit.
Yeah. We were like, hey, we have some visuals. It's like,
yeah. And it went well, which is good. Just doing this.
That went great. Transparency is important, and bringing them along in the process is really important.
Speaking of transparency, and I usually don't like to ask uncomfortable questions, but I wouldn't be doing my job if we didn't address.
Yeah, yeah. No surprise here.
I see where this is going.
We have to address either the elephant in the room or the bolt within the L and the T. As you experienced, there was a lot of reactions online, especially on Twitter. I think most people have forgotten about Twitter, but Twitter can still deliver every now and then the good. So the gist of the conversation was like, hey, here's the Bolt logo. And then people are like, oh, this is not original. People have done it before. This obscure Bolt TV dribble shot that no one had seen before.
Exactly. <Yeah.
laughs> Things like this happen. And I have my opinions about either how it happens or what to do when it happens, and I can share that afterwards if we still have time. But what was your reaction to that initial conversation, which can literally derail many businesses? You're just like, oh, you know, we can't have this narrative going on around our launch because it's the wrong thing. So how did you react? How did you deal with it internally? Did you just like scream into a pillow?
You know, I think it's actually better than Jason answer this, you know, coming from the actual bold client. I have my opinion, but
yeah, at the core of it, people were talking about it, and no one was talking about us before. We're like, people who didn't know who Bolt was now know who Bolt is. All the decisions we made were what was right for Bolt, what was right for us. People are always going to find what it is close to and, you know, call you out. I think what we did was we pulled from a design pillar that we were inspired by the FedEx logo. We had a lot of conversations of one of the best logos ever made in the negative space. We knew we wanted to create a shorthand. That's what was driving us forward as inspiration. We're not looking at any of the chatter on Twitter as like, oh no, we made a horrible mistake. We stand by what we did, and there's always going to be things that you didn't know that were out there. We can't look at every logo in the world, you know? It's all positive from our end.
And again, we had a lot of work on this logo. It looked different. The most important thing really is to look at the competitive landscape. You know, you have to look at Shopify and PayPal and checkout.com and Stripe and Shop. It's so different. That's what matters. You need to look at the competitive landscape versus, yeah, looking at this random, maybe dribble reference from 2004. I'm sure, you know, a lot of people have done it. When you use lightning bolts, arrows, circle, or like very, very simple shapes like that, it's been done. But as long as it wasn't done in your space. And also, like you said, Jason, it was the same with Kodo. It's like all of a sudden we're doing a good job. It's like we've never had that much engagement, like comments, interest, talents actually emailing us. Because yeah, there's probably 1% of the population that says, you know, liar, well, I cheat or whatever. But 99% were so excited.
It's what Twitter is, you know, you can't prevent it.
And it's interesting, right? We also always talk about a brand is more than a logo. And then actually, I think the greatest thing about Bolt is the rest of the system and the attention to details to the smallest thing and the biggest thing. And then most of the chat on Twitter was like, the logo! Interesting. What do you think, Armin? What do you think about all this?
My opinion is that what happens when you go with a logo that is so minimalist is that the more elements you take away, the less elements that you have to play with. So the moment that you narrow things to, like you said, a narrow, a bolt, a circle, It is almost impossible to come up with something completely original. It's as if I told you, like, give me a sentence using three words. There's only so many ways you can make that sentence feel new.
Yeah.
To me, it's just like there are moments of a lot of coincidence. And I think there's also that sense of, well, why didn't you do a Google image search? Well, you can't. I mean, you sort of think, all right, well, I'll just drop my logo into the Google image search box. And even that doesn't, because I did it, it doesn't return anything similar. You search for Bolt logo and it returns 100 different things that have a Bolt. None of them, at least in my results, none of them had a Bolt within an L and a T. So you can do your homework, but you still didn't happen to see this logo that doesn't exist. And I'm talking about the Bolt TV logo in particular, which is the closest one. But then someone in the comments on Brand New is like, here's the Colt logo, which is also the L and the T, which was only like 1990s or something. So It's difficult when you go that minimalist to achieve something that is completely authentic, original. And I think that's fine. Different logos operate within different realms. We just have to learn to coexist with those. And at the end of the day, I think it comes down to whoever designed the original idea, how well they sleep at night. Did they really come up with that idea? And I'm not saying whether you, Arthur, or you, Jason, or whoever came up with that original idea specifically did so out of the figment of your imagination, or you saw it and you're like, ooh, there's something there. I'm sure we can do it better. Whatever it is. I think at the end, it's just like, in your heart of hearts, do you know that it was an original idea that, lo and behold, someone came up with it again, and they are geniuses as well. So I think it's just something that we have to live with.
That's why the Bolt team never freaked out about it, because they knew that it came from a different place and we worked together. Like you said, you know, it needs to be more mature. It needs to be simpler. It needs to work alongside Visa, Tesla, Nike, or the actually all cap logo in this world. And so we know where it comes from. I think the best thing is you never had that much traffic on Bolt.com, and it's the same on Kodo.
Yeah, exactly.
And for what it's worth, I think it is the best lightning bolt in a negative space ever so far. Until 20 years from now, someone like, look what I came up with. You know, someone from our generation will be like, oh, Kodo did it first. Well, I didn't see that. I apologize. I don't know every logo in the world. But anyway, Arthur, you mentioned something about the attention to detail and all the little things about how the brand is not just the logo. So let's talk a little bit about some of the other elements, like the lightning bolt elements in the typography, the illustration, the photography that you already hinted about. Let's just delve into those a little bit, starting with the customized type from Pangram Pangram.
So similarly with the type, we suggested a few options. The first one was very expressive, super, super expressive. And then Jason was like, okay, we like it because it's slightly different from the competition. Think about PayPal, think about Shop. They have an engaging sans serif type. We were like, okay, let's just find something. And then this one from Pangram Pangram was absolutely perfect. The good thing about it with our Grandier is that it looks amazing at large size, but it still reads really well at small size. So first of all, it works really well in the product. Great. And obviously we paired it with something more functional. But I think when we approached them, we were like, we want to do this custom cut, but we want it to be meaningful and useful. You know that almost better than me, Armin. You see a lot of bespoke type every day. And I think that sometimes bespoke type, they look good, but they become a distraction. They try too much and they take away from the information. We were talking about being shockingly simple. We want to make sure that whatever we say and whatever we write, people are going to be able to read it and they understand it. And we have obviously the rest of the graphic language. And so when we went to Pangram, we're like, okay, we're thinking about doing 15 to 20 different characters, not all of them. And we're going to try to figure out what is the most useful. It came back with currencies. I think this is something that we see obviously a lot on board. So the dollar sign, euro sign, pound sign, and we're going to do more in the future. I think percent or at or anything that goes with punctuation, you know, the slash, the dash, etc. It was very, very purposeful. We started with, why don't we just try to add the lightning bolt everywhere? They did it and they did it really good and they were so nice and collaborative, but sometimes it felt just insane. When you do a lightning bolt in a dash, it's like, is it really necessary? And so we actually had some very amazing, once again, discussions and catch up with the Bolt team and the Coder team, obviously, and also Pangram thinking, okay, there's probably something else that we can bring on. You know, it's not just the idea of the lightning bolt. It's this idea of being dynamic, feeling that there's something, there's a shift happening, something that should be probably a bit functional, a bit recessive. And so we came up with this idea of just doing it more dynamic. You know, it starts really narrow and it goes wider. How do you actually bring that? There's also this shift as well. You go from left to right or you go offset as well. Anyway, I'm going very detailed and it's not very interesting, but it was very much an exercise of simplification as well. You know, we want to make this really cool. We want to make this great. It's going to look amazing on marketing. It looks amazing when it moves. But when it's really small on the product, it has to be useful and functional. And so that's how we came up with the whole process. I think we're really, really happy with it. I think it looks so nice.
It does. Jason, I don't know how long you've actually been using this for, but do you feel like you want to end every sentence in an exclamation point so that you can use it? Or is it more like, show some restraint?
Funny you say that, because there was some places where I was telling my team where I was like, oh, well, we have an element of branding, an opportunity here. Let's use the exclamation point. And my team's like, oh, but we're not shouting. It's like, let's take it out. So I've had conversations about that. A lot of what we're doing is stats of case studies, you know, merchants using Bolt and using percentage signs. This is probably one of my favorite parts of what we did in the rebrand, is because it's the smallest little detail that we've paid attention to and we've put our stamp on it. It's percentage signs, it's quotation marks, it's an at sign. That's an opportunity to put Bolt in there that we wouldn't have otherwise. Absolutely love it.
It should be the cherry on the cake, I think, more than, oh my God, we're going to put it everywhere. I think if you just put it everywhere, it just becomes noise. And then if it's just that once in a while, I think it's going to feel special.
We're just using it like we would any other typography.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way to do it. And it shows up. It reminds people of like the little details of what we are.
And then there is the illustration and photography, which go a little bit hand in hand. And I think, you know, my first impression when I saw the illustration, which is something that we've seen so much in the past 3-5 years, which is what's been labeled the corporate Memphis style. Mm. And at first I was like, this is a little bit of that, which are like the extreme perspective, the big limbs, big hands, big feet. And at first I thought, well, it's too much of that. But then when I saw it with the photography, like, ooh, like that is a really cool 1-2 punch of having those moments of weirdness that never gets applied to photography. So how did that come about? Did one lead the other? You already talked a little bit about how flash photography didn't work out. So how did those two elements come about?
We started with the photos when we figured out exactly what we wanted to do with it. Hey, maybe the illustration is just going to do exactly the same thing, because we wanted to make sure that we bring consistency as well throughout all the brand elements. I mean, you said that, Jason, as well, is you want to be different, you want to be distinctive, but you can't forget that you're also talking to a lot of merchants as well. And so you can't be completely insane for the sake of it. And once again, we had a lot of options and some of the original one were like batshit crazy, really insane. The perspective was so, so big. You couldn't see the face of the person. On a personal point of view, I find it really interesting and a bit more challenging. But look, the rest of the brand is so different as well. You know, there's so many things the yellow is so different and is so challenging in some ways versus what everyone else is doing. And the logo is different and the type is bringing distinctness. And so sometimes you just need to calm it down a bit. And we do have some illustrations that are pretty, pretty expressive that don't feel corporate Memphis to me. I actually thought corporate Memphis was probably a reach, at least on a personal point of view. I didn't think it felt very much like that, but I know why people could say it. And I trying to find like some sort of post-rationalization being like, it's maybe because the character are always smiling and then the color of the skin is maybe this. But I think the concept itself made so much sense with what we're trying to do with the rest that we'd rather prioritize consistency over style.
They do look great. I think we're slowly moving away from comparing everything that is flat and expressive with corporate Memphis. So good job in getting us to that point where we can just move on.
It only took 12 minutes. Yeah.
Now, talking about all the elements coming together, how has the identity been received both internally and externally from shoppers, merchants, people complaining about the logo? We can leave those out.
We're just in the beginning of really using it and unlocking the guidelines internally. Everything from Google Slides, Figma presentations, just the template. That's a test of like, does it work? Watching all these presentations internally just look incredible and designed no matter who's using them. That's a huge test. The website, I think, is a cornerstone of the brand guidelines all coming into one place. We launched a campaign recently too with the rebrand and taking all the pieces of the guidelines and trying to really find a place for where that goes into the campaign. We're testing it. We're in the phase of testing it and finding out, like, we're in constant contact with Kodo, and Arthur and I talk almost every day of, oh, it would be great if we had something like this, or how do we look at the icons? How do we look at the photography? Like, if we're doing a fashion shoot that leans more into fashion, how does that flex? This is the fun part. We created this framework, and now it's like, let's bend it and see what happens.
And we're very open about it at Kodo, at least. You know, we create the brand, but the ball team, they have to wear it for the next 5, 10, 20 years. And so we'll always just let them have as much freedom as possible and then try new things, bring new things to the table. They're doing an amazing job.
And Arthur, what was the most exciting aspect of working on this project for you?
Their relationship with the ball team. I mean, it's just incredible. Honestly, the trust and the belief they had in our vision, I'm repeating myself now because I already said it, but was mind-blowing. And I think the more trust they put in us, the more trust we put in them as well, being they're not saying this for the sake of it. They know exactly what they're talking about because they're making things better. You know, they made the logo better. They made the color palette better. Approach to illustration and photography was much better thanks to them. And so it started to feel like one large team. And like Jason said, definitely not the kind of studio that's going to do the guidelines and say, see ya. But even more for Bold, we're still working on this. Even yesterday, we finished the guidelines a month ago and we just updated the guidelines with new motion principles that we added. We did new iconography, a new iconographic set as well. We finished this beautiful fashion shoot as well. Interesting as well to see how the brand is flexing from being a bit more B2C/B2B to very, very premium and elitist in some ways. By far, our relationship with the team.
Nicely said. Jason, without saying sea of sameness, what is the most exciting aspect of this identity for you going through this process moving forward?
The system that we created and being able to point to every touch point of the brand that is now cohesive and has an identity. That's what excites me. When I walked in the Bolt, the brand was kind of being patchwork and was a little all over the place. And now that everything really feels like it has harmony together. Moving forward, people are going to see something that we put out in the world and know it's Bolt. That's what excites me the most, as someone who is working on this brand and trying to take it to the next place. We have the framework from a visual identity and a messaging standpoint that we can build on for a very long time.
I can't wait to see what else comes out of Bolt moving forward, how this harmony plays out in a loud, bold way, which seems to be the MO of Bolt, which is just like be in your face, take up space. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but gain ground on this competition and for the sake of it, stand out in a sea of sameness. Jason, Arthur.
No, you said it there. Yeah, no, yes, you're saying
you said it.
I was trying to figure out how to build it into the closing sentence. So Arthur, Jason, thank you so much for joining me on the follow-up today.
Pleasure, my friend. It was great.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It was great to hear how much thorough thinking went into the development of every little detail and how they were able to find moments to be very expressive, but also realize that delivering jolts of extreme creativity at every point would not have been the most effective. We may sound repetitive, but once again, it was clear that the positive relationship between agency and client was key in developing a shockingly simple identity that stands out in, once more and with gusto, a sea of sameness. Our guess is that Bolt will not remain an unknown for much longer. Today, thanks for listening. Until next time, we'll be here. We hope you'll be there.